All right, cool deal.
All right. Now, all right, so we're back again. Four. Last week it was Robert. Robert's got the night off, but we got the brothers in here. We got Terrence. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Good to see you guys again.
It's very good to see. Always good to see you guys.
Jay. Always, always.
Like Q said, we got the brothers tonight.
Yeah. Is Jay there?
He's there. He's got his, just old. I guess you got to tap him on the shoulder or something. I don't know.
All right, we'll go to Mike. Mike, how are you?
I am great. I'm great. I'm having a great week. Just loving life right now.
That's good. I'm glad you're here because you were in our thoughts last week while we were talking about that X-Men crap and how good the show was.
Yeah, no, I need my nap time, so I didn't wake up in time before the show. I was
And that was all right. We understand. I think someone guessed that you were knocked out in front of the monitor. I don't know who it was. I don't know who won the prize last week, but they.
Yeah, but that's always a safe bet with me. So that's always safe.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about with some people who have very strong, educated opinions. But let's start off with Anthony Mackie, the Falcon, Tupac, Twisted Metal star. He recently stated that Marvel is a space of controlled entertainment. There's only so much creativity you can bring to the table because of comic book ties. Now, I brought this up before we started recording, and Terrence, tell us about what it sounded like. There was more than I read on the article. I think I read the first paragraph.
Yeah, when I saw you put that on our roster things to talk about, the first article I pulled up wasn't anything controversial to it. He was promoting Twisted Metal, and basically what he was saying was that when you're in that comic book superhero space, when you're in the shared universe and you have to do things based on a shared comic book universe, there's only so much you can do because people have certain expectations. You can't just go killing off characters willy-nilly because then people are going to be pissed. And he was paying a lot of respect to Stan Lee. He was saying Stan Lee and all the cats who came after him, they created a lot of rich characters, a rich tapestry. And when you go about creating these movies and these storylines, you have to pay respect to those storylines. And you have some creative freedom to do some things, especially since those characters and storylines were created a long time ago. You have to update them for modern times. But to a degree, you have to follow the blueprint that they laid down. You have to use those characters, and you have to follow those storylines to a degree. You have to somewhat paint, you have to color within the lines. You can't just go off and just start killing main characters here and there just because you feel like it. Mm-hmm. But with something like Twisted Metal, Twisted Metal doesn't have a deep history of or lore. I mean, you go to any five people who've played a Twisted Metal game, they probably can't name 10 Twisted Metal characters. They probably can't tell you like the deep lore and history of Twisted Metal. So when you go and create a Twisted Metal TV show, it's pretty much a blank slate. All you guys have to do is have a few recognizable characters, a few recognizable vehicles. Beyond that, you can just start blowing shit up, killing characters off left and right. And as long as you've got the spirit of it, you can just kind of do whatever you want. As long as you come up with a good story, it's fun to watch. You don't really have to color within the lines. He was just saying that it's kind of a blank slate. They're not really beholden to a lot because Twisted Metal didn't really have that much of a story.
And that with you breaking it down like that, that is fair. And like we've stated that before, that some of those characters, superhero characters, that don't have that have, let's just say, wiggle room to you know, to mess with their origin on film and on certain shows. You know, it kind of works out for them. You know, it's can't do anything with Superman's origin or Batman or Spider-Man's. It is what it is. But when you're doing, you know, a James Gunn type deal where he has characters that have some flexibility, you do have more creative space. So I guess after that breakdown, not really annoyed with him as much. Mike, you had anything you wanted to add to?
Nah, because I hadn't seen the article or read anything, but from what I heard, it makes sense. It you know, I have never even played Twisted Metal game, but not that it really has anything to do with the overall thing of this of the statement. But comics are interwoven, so you know, yeah, it makes them freer. Mm-hmm. There only is so much you can do as far as to affect the whole thing. So, I don't really have anything to add or interject other than that. Other than that, when I first heard what you said, I was kind of like, "What's that mean?" And mm-hmm. when T broke it down, you're like, "All right, yeah, it's really not that bad." So,
yeah, not that bad. Jay, you there?
I'm here now, and I have no idea what the topic is because I was in daddy mode for a second.
I see.
It's all right. Yeah, we're seeing it. I'm like, I'm gonna give him some room to handle the business over there. But we were just talking about Anthony Mackie's the headline from him this week. Terrence kind of broke it down a little better than the article did, but what he said was that Marvel's in a space of controlled entertainment. There's only so much you can bring to the table because of comic book ties. That headline's kind of misleading compared to what he said. Terrence went a little deeper than I did,
yeah,
which is good because we like Anthony Mackie again.
yeah, he was comparing it to the stuff he was doing with Twisted Metal, and mm-hmm. the thing was Twisted Metal's kind of a blank slate because it doesn't have much lore. Whereas with Marvel, you got to be beholden to the comic books because you start messing with the origins and killing off characters randomly, then you know you're not living up to the whole reason that you're translating things from comic books. People, what's the point of adapting things from the comic books if you're just going to change all the origins, kill off people left and right? Whereas Twisted Metal, nobody really knows anything about Twisted Metal because Twisted Metal doesn't have a deep lore. So you know, pretty much as long as you got cars blowing up other cars. And you know, you got Sweet Tooth. Like Sweet Tooth is really the only recognizable.
Yeah, that's the only recognizable
character from it. So you got Sweet Tooth, cars blowing up other cars. That's really all you got to have.
Yeah, he makes a good point. Mm-hmm. Whether or not the studios are actually living up to that, because we all know, at least as of late, they've been tearing apart that comic lore.
Or ignoring it altogether.
Ignoring it completely. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, we're gonna have Taskmaster. Whatever. Like,
yeah.
So yeah. Of course we agree with them, but I don't know, the studios don't really care now. They're putting showrunners in those writers' rooms who they tell not to even read the comics. So
which is crazy.
Yeah, so speaking of the audience, we have a complaint from Nelson Peltz about woke films.
I thought you were about to say Nelson Mandela. I was like, oh, he's a weeb? What?
Nelson Peltz, his question was, why do I have to watch a Marvel movie with an all-woman cast or an all-black cast?
Is that the guy that's got owns Marvel stock?
He's got,
and he's trying to push
out
stock. Feige.
That is the guy.
Oh, the old dude. Yeah,
yeah, the old angry white man.
The answer is he doesn't. He doesn't have to watch him.
You don't have to.
No,
watch
he
it.
Doesn't. There was a discussion on a page where I posted this article, and the question was. Or one of the statements was that they aren't aiming for the target audience. Now, one statement was the target audience is men for superhero films. And I want to say that the reason why they're failing is that the target audience is comic book fans. And comic book fans haven't been happy in a couple years. Now, comic fans can be men, women, however you identify yourself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we just talked about creativity and how they ignore $50. I'm thinking about money right now. Like over 50 years of lore. I don't know how you can run out of content or don't know which way to go when, like I do, is go to your comic shop and go right. to the trades or current issues. Marvel was doing a lot of that earlier with comic book stories in the titles of their films. DC's never really done that.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I think that's actually like a big mistake that they've made. But what do you guys think about the statement? Any, or is this just another angry white man? Or does he have any point? Does he have, what do you guys think?
I think it's just what you said, another angry white man, an old white man. No offense to the people out there, but I think that's just what it is. They're not making all black movies. They're not making all, you know, women with movies, just all women in it. They're women in leads and they're blacks in the leads. But if that's bothering him, I think what is in a lot of stuff is things are coming around to be a lot more even. People that were not being represented are getting movies that they've been, you know, they're finally getting represented in these movies, and it's bothering these old guys. They want to go back to watching old black and white movies where everybody was the same and, you know, back in the good old days. And it's just, those days ain't going to happen anymore. Those days are gone. People want to get their own voice heard or be seen. And it's bothering these people. It's making them uncomfortable. But I like what you said about the core audience. I had never thought about that because one of the guys in the group who always seems to jump up when this comes up and calls it the MCU. He always has something to say, but you're right. The coordinates isn't just old white guys. It's comic book fans. That's what Marvel's breaking off at. You know, they got to get the comic book fans and get comic book writers back involved or, you know, get somebody in here who knows what that is going on. You know, I think that's where Marvel's falling up, dropping the bus at. And get the comic book writers or somebody involved who knows the story to tell it. Because Secret Wars, was it Secret Wars with Sam Jackson or Secret Invasion mm-hmm. could have been a lot better. Well, all of them could have been a lot better. If they were, you know, like you said, it didn't, people weren't told not to read it. How do you tell somebody not to read it and it's a comic book movie? That doesn't even make sense. A comic book show, it makes no sense. So that's where they're losing. That's my opinion. That's where they're losing at. That's all I got with that one.
Jay? Okay.
Huh. I think, of course, there's going to be racist people, right? You know, he seems like he's from the old boys mm-hmm. club. There's a lot of that. Like, you know, he's probably like, oh, well, why can't it be the way it used to be? I think, but a lot of other people, like you were saying, is, you know, they're not catching the fans anymore. I think it's a lack of creativity, a lack of good writing. I think they lost the bigger picture that they used to have. Like, we're going to set all this up and we're going to make it good. We're going to make it consistent, you know, cause you know, realistically, every Marvel film wasn't like a knockout of the park hit. You know, most of the time they were just, you know, they were good. They served their purpose, but then every once in a while you got the banger and every once in a while you got the doo-doo muncher. It wasn't often. I think, you know, we're old enough where this crew, we're old enough where we grew up in the 80s and we saw a lot of crazy stuff with a lot of strong women like Sigourney Weaver. Yeah. Cynthia Rothrock. Mm-hmm. You had, what was the chick who played Red Sonja?
Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah. Brigitte Nielsen. And then, you know, we had mm-hmm. like, what's her name? Oh, I can't remember. In the Blaxploitation. I can't remember. I can't believe I can't remember her name.
Well, Pam Grier.
Pam Grier. Like, you know, we had all, like, I watched Red Sonja all the time. I watched that as much as I saw Watch Conan. You know, if I saw Red Sonja, I was watching it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just if I see some half naked chicks back then, you know what I mean? Back when, mm-hmm. if anything, Cynthia Rothrock, she was beating everybody's ass in them Kung Fu movies. Like, we didn't care.
Yeah. I got to tell you, before you continue, like, Gillian Anderson and X-Files, like, that was my girl, man.
Yeah.
I love Scully. Still, to this day.
Like, so I don't think the fandom has as much issue with strong female, like, and half the people who read comic books, they read manga. 90% of the characters in manga are female. Half the mangakas are women. So I don't think it's like people hate women content or, you know, content with female characters. I think it's a lot of just bad writing and a lot of, I don't even want to say it like it, but I don't know, like, it kind of is like people are pushing their own personal agendas. And a lot of they're saying it. So it's not even like it's like a conspiracy theory. Like, we all saw that video from the Disney shareholder thing, or not the shareholder, but they were all the creatives or the executives were like, yeah, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. We're going to push this, you know, ABC, we're going to push this stuff. And whether you agree with it or not, they are, you know, doing it on their own volition. Like, they're sacrificing, a lot of times they're sacrificing stories to push something else. Hey, you know, I think that's hurting them on a level. But, you know, I think it's complicated. I think there's more than one aspect to all this stuff. Of course, there's the people who are racist or sexist or big or whatever it is, and they just don't want to see it. But then you can't ignore that there is some of the other stuff that people are saying too. You know, I'm tired of seeing the race swap characters now at this point. Like, it was cool at first. Like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, who cares? Like, then I'm like, all right. Like, there are black characters you can use. Like, we can't get a Rage, or we can't get a Night Thrash, or we can't, you know. Yeah, I mean, like.
So I was just talking to a friend about that this week. He was like, oh, can we make, why don't they get a black song? I can't even remember the character. And I was like, I sounded just like you. I was like, I kind of don't have a problem, but you're opening the door for a white Black Panther here. Like, let the roles there.
Right.
Like, let the, like some, like, just let it lie. There's no need to do that.
Because somebody's going to do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're opening the door for this. Like, okay, so let's get the chance, because I have a question regards to this.
The White Panther.
What do you think, Terrence?
Yeah, I think he's definitely he's from that you know, what Jay was saying, the old boys club. But it unfortunately happens to coincide at a time where we're getting some, you know, very lackluster quality. So it's all just kind of mixing together to where people can start saying, you see, you know, we're getting this lackluster, you know, we're getting bad quality, you know, because of diversity. And, you know, the two things don't, you know, one thing doesn't necessarily mean the other. You're not necessarily getting bad quality because you're getting diversity. We've gotten good quality movies that have black cast. You've gotten good movies that have female leads, but you've also gotten bad quality or lackluster quality TV shows or movies that, you know, have female leads and diverse cast. Can't say that, you know, you can't say for sure that one thing leads to the other, but now everything is just, everybody's just screaming woke, 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 woke. And I just get so tired of hearing it all the time. Everybody says, well, this is bad because, you know, this is bad because it's woke. And it's just like, I just want to judge something on the quality of it. It's bad because you fucking wrote a shitty product, you know? And I just tend to leave it at that. You know, Secret Invasion isn't bad because Samuel Jackson is black and because Don Cheadle is black. It's bad because you had some fucking shitty writers writing it. It's a bad fucking story. You know what so I mean?
You, and, yeah.
Can't tell me you didn't love the super duper scroll.
so you
now I can see where some other projects I don't know Marvel. I can't say what Marvel per se, but I can see what some other products and some other media where maybe someone just some executive somewhere said, you know what, I don't give a damn about the story as long as you have, you know, this color character doing these things and saying these things to promote this. I don't give a damn about the story. But in other cases, it didn't matter whether the characters were female, what color they were. The story was just bad. Secret Invasion started off with promise, and then it just progressively got worse. It had nothing to do with the background of the characters, what color they were, none of that. Mm-hmm. It was just a bad fucking story, and it did a terrible job of building on things that came before it. It did a terrible job of pulling from anything that had to do with the comics. It was just it was just bad. And the talent pool, I think it's just they've done so much to try and feed the machine that is Disney Plus. They're just spreading their talent so thin to justify having this streaming platform. They spread their talent so thin, and they've admitted as much. Kevin Feige's admitted as much. He's, you know, because he used to just having to monitor two or three movies a year, and now that plus, you know, having to shit out three or four TV shows on top of that and have them all tie into each other, it's too much to have to be able to ensure that you have that same quality product as when you were just making sure you had two or three good movies a year. It's just way too much. And that's why it's shitty now. It's got nothing to do with woke this, woke that.
So you guys all nailed it, right? So there's no need to even ask the question because it just seems that the problem is still the story. It doesn't matter who's in it. The story is still going to be bad if the story is bad. And it's funny because they're in it for the money right now, which I understand. You know, we grew up in the 80s where all the cartoons were just 30-minute commercials, but there was still a story involved there. You know, like there was no better age for toys than in the 80s. Like there were like four or five really good deep toy lines. And I mentioned toys because it's about the money. But Marvel, you know, you want the money, but you aren't putting out what's necessary to make it. You burn through your benefit of the doubt. You know, people don't even, they don't give you any kind of excuse anymore. It's like, it's just bad. So you guys all nailed it. I won't ask the question. The stories are just haven't been good. It doesn't matter who's in it. Like, I don't even know if you had a movie today with Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. in it, if it would be any good. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because Robert Downey would ad-lib a lot of stuff, but we don't know. It's still a story. I've seen a bad Iron Man movie. And right now, Iron Man 3 is a classic right now compared to what we're watching right now. Like, it's amazing.
That's the same thing that happened in Star Wars. Once those sequels came out, those prequels were like,
"Oh, they got to be gold then, yeah."
I judged you too harshly.
Yeah, perhaps I treated you too harshly. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, so we're dismissing him. They got to get some writers in there. And on the other side of that, Disney CEO, I didn't put his name here, but Iger
or something.
Yeah, he's exhausted and overwhelmed after all these box office flops. So this is the same thing, honestly. Bob. Right. Shane, I feel bad for
he's
Bob.
Wiping them tears sense. With $1,000 bills.
Right. So we'll just sweep him into the same shit bag that that we just discussed with Nelson. All right.
Hey, Hope, real quick before we move on.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just tired of the term woke in general. Let's go ahead and hit that. It doesn't even mean what it used to mean. It's, no. You know, it's been so murdered and slandered, and it woke means anything. Right, yeah, it's been gentrified. Woke don't mean nothing. Yeah, it's terrible.
I cringe every time I hear it. I'm just like, as soon as I start using woke, I'm just like, I be unfriending people now and shit. I'm just like.
Yeah. This guy at work said woke, and like, what's they got to do with woke? You don't even know what you're saying anymore. It's not even, it's to the point that I don't even use the term anymore. It's terrible. And, this ain't nothing new. I posted a clip in the group about this guy saying something. It was an Eddie Murphy interview with, it was one of those late night shows.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy was mad. I posted it because of this. The guy was mad because he thought that this is a reverse world where white people don't exist. It ain't new. They get threatened.
Oh, the boomerang, yeah.
Boomerang. Yeah, they get threatened. And they feel uncomfortable. You know, who's running this office? There's no white people. You know, where there are white people, it's so hard to talk about this without really going in.
Yeah, how can this office run without any white people? It was like the basis of it. It was just like...
And so, we're not trying to be racist. We're just telling the facts, you know. Like, listen, make sure I'm comfortable. We're sorry.
And we're talking
comedy. No, we're not sorry. Yeah. It's just the facts. It is what it is.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, comics, like, I mean, honestly, this has, like, been what it's about. Women, men, you know, sexual orientation. Now, the woke thing, it's funny because last week someone in the office said something. And I should have flat out asked him, like, what are you mad about now? Because that's what I equate with. Woke man. Like, what are you mad about now? And, like, listening to him, I was like, I don't see the point. And I went back to work. But I agree with you, Mike. Yeah, we need to put woke to bed.
Yeah, put that to bed. But you need to also go listen to some old Stan Lee interviews before all this even really jumped off. Stan Lee said, you know, they make Marvel comics for people out your front window. If you see whatever you see out that window, and I can put this in the interview in the thing, is what's going to be in Marvel comics. It's for everybody. It ain't just for a certain type. It's for everybody. And Stan said this before MCU. I don't know if it was really before it popped off, but it was definitely a long, long time ago. And it's what it is, people. It's just get over yourself. It's for everybody. Gay people exist. Black people exist, yo. We've been around for a while, so women are here.
So, by today's standard, Alien series with Ripley, is that a woke? Is that woke in the woke section now?
Yeah, yo, it's woke now. Today's standard, it is woke.
If aliens came out today, they would definitely be like, ah, woke trash.
Yeah,
I didn't understand.
The ill girls,
But they aliens? If they just saw the trailer, they'd be like, "Oh, it's this woke trash."
Terminator might
just
be
based on the trailer. Too.
If people decide it's going to be bad before they see it,
exactly.
What did you just say? What did you just say, Jay?
Terminator will be woke too.
The first. Yes, Terminator. Yes, yes. If they saw the trailer for Terminator 2 today for the first time, they'd be like. Sarah Connor, Sarah Connor's the hero now?
Right. Well, weren't they saying that about Prey, that last Predator movie?
They were.
Damn, that's crazy. All right.
Like, Prey was good.
Prey was good. How good was it? The studio wants to make another one to make money.
Yeah.
So. All right, so where we at? Let's talk about the Bad Boys trailer real quick. Did you guys see it? Anybody see it?
Yeah, I didn't know there was one until just now.
Yeah,
looks good. Back to form. And poor Reggie.
Reggie in this one too.
Yeah, he's in this.
He don't catch Reggie.
he ate his father-in-law's snacks out the fridge, and he was getting in trouble. I was just thinking about how long this series has run. I was in high school when the first one came out. And I was like, jeez. And it does look good. The third one was kind of...
It was okay.
Yeah, I want to say weird because I think that would be the wrong word. But the...
We're gonna it's the bottom of the list.
Oh, is that the one with his son? That one he found his son in Cuba or something? That was the third one?
Yeah. I think that was... I don't know. Second was my favorite one. That was
second one was the best.
Gabriel one. Union, you know, before she became a weirdo. but like Bad Boys 2 is just like a bunch of car chases and shooting. And I'm saying that not to be condescending, but it was a simple formula. You know, you had the humor. That's all you
need. Let Michael Bay blow some stuff out.
Yeah,
that's it.
Right. And it's Martin and Will Smith. You know, like, I can't really think of anything bad that they were in. And honestly, the movie wouldn't end. It just kept going. And it wasn't bad. It was just, like, it just kept going. You know, they went down to where were they? To get Gabriel Union. Somewhere, some island. Then they drove away from
that. Was it South America or something? Or?
Something.
I can't remember where it was. But they went somewhere with a minefield.
They drove all the way from... Right. That's where they ended up. Right. They left the drug dealer's house after digging under it, left, drove down a hill all the way to a naval base, headshot the guy, and it was just it was
remote
all over
control
the place.
Cars
and,
at some point.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. They yes. Gotta get a Chris Rock cameo in this. Come on.
Oh Lord. Is that still a thing?
Gotta hash out the feud. Gotta get a Chris Rock cameo in this.
Yeah. They did that, man.
That's going to be on. Chris Rock's brother's going to be out for his other 30 minutes of fame.
Or they could have Chris Rock slap Will Smith on screen.
That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that could be awesome. He'd be Reggie's dad or something. Come in and slap the shit out of Will Smith. You see my son? Slap him or some shit. That would be awesome.
That'd be like a little olive branch, dude. Like, it's over. Like, let's just all be cool again, you know.
Because my wife's still mad at Will Smith. She's still... Oh yeah, she has a Will Smith collection. I almost want to bring it out to talk to y'all about it. But she has a Will Smith collection of movies and she don't even watch it no more. Oh, because she's still mad at Will Smith.
Yeah, he messed up on that one.
He did.
Yeah, still mad.
He risked too much. Yo, he could have been arrested. They could have took the award from him.
Forget Questlove got one.
Yeah.
Man, forget all about Quest.
Yeah, so like
he was like, "Hello, I'm here too."
He's like,
"Time and place. If you want to slap Chris Rock, do it out in the street. You know, like where they can't punish you. You know, well, not whatever. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm gonna check out Bad Boys. Like I've seen everyone. You know, like they had TV shows when the first one came out. They were still doing Fresh Prince and Martin when that first one dropped. So, hopefully this is the last one. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Let's get to some pain points here. X-Men, 3 episodes in. You guys were not here last week. Talked with Robert. Overall, we both liked it. And our 2 mutant experts are in today, and let's hear from you. We'll let Mike gather his joy for this whole situation.
He's been grinning all week.
All right, so like if you,
everybody here has got some mutant love in him. Detectives got some mutant love in him. We hear some, you know. Mm-hmm. I think there's only one non-mutant lover in the group, sir. That would be you.
I like the good ones.
All right. You sound racist. We all good. That's racist as hell.
I like the good mutants. You know,
that Nelson Peltz.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm on my Gyrus right now, man.
Why gotta watch these mutant shows?
Exactly. He's in a boy club. He's at where he's at. You know.
All right. Okay. Let's go around Terrence, Jay, and then we'll finish off with Mike. because we want to hear what Mike has to say about the X-Men and Cyclops. If he was a real person today and he ran for president, he might win because everybody loves him right now. So we're going to let him talk about that also. So go ahead, Terrence.
They finally put some respect on Scott Summers' name. Man, this is a long ways away from the days of Scott Summers taking a gut punch from Wolverine getting off the X-plane. I'm telling you, man, they finally put some respect on my man's name. As soon as he started diving towards the ground, I was like, yo, I don't need no help. Yo, go help the others. I'm good. I'm just going to optic blast my way down. I'm good. Yo, from then on, everybody's like, yo, put some respect on my man's name. And yeah, everybody's loving Scott now. All of a sudden, seeing all the memes, all the Cyclops posts, everybody loving themselves on Scott Summers now. No respect. Every Scott Summers meme you've seen up until X-Men 97 came out, the disrespect, Mike, you can attest to that, the disrespect to Scott Summers. Man,
he'd been disrespected since the Fox movie. Straight disrespect. You're talking 2 years of abuse.
Man, yes, the X-Men movies did no justice to Cyclops. The man got killed off screen in The Last Stand. You didn't even see his death. He was just gone, done for. Just, I was like, yo, wait, is he dead? Like, we don't even see it. He's just gone. You just see his fucking visor. Like, wait, okay. So yeah, the show is great. I wasn't even like the trailers leading up to it were good. I wasn't even like looking forward to it that much, because even though I grew up on the animated series, like, I wasn't really missing it. I had my fill of it as a kid. When they started airing reruns on Disney Plus, I didn't really go back and watch them. I showed them to my son. He wasn't really digging them, and I was like, yeah, I had my fill of this as a kid. So I was going to watch it regardless, but I wasn't really looking forward to it with a lot of anticipation. But yeah, from that first episode, I said, wow. The showrunner, who we know got fired a few weeks ago, he was a big fan of the show growing up, and you could tell he really respected the show. You could tell he knew his comic book lore, and yeah, he did a great job writing these episodes. Like I said, he put some respect on Scott Summers. I like the storyline they're going with so far, especially during the trial of Magneto. They've managed to condense a lot of classic storylines into half hour format. I'm really amazed that they managed to, with this last episode, they managed to condense a version of Inferno and the X-Factor storyline of Madeline and Scott's son being infected with the techno-organic virus and being thrown into the future. They managed to condense all that into 32 minutes. So they did a good job with all that, considering that there's only so much you can do within that format, and there's a lot of stuff that you have to throw out. Like, obviously, with Inferno, that was a really big storyline that also involved demons from Limbo, and obviously they weren't going to do the whole demon storyline. That also involved the New Mutants and Colossus sister magic, so you had to do away with a lot of that, because a lot of that would have had to been built up from before. But considering what they had to work with, the building blocks that they had, they did a good job using mixing and matching parts and building up that storyline. So I think they've been doing an excellent job, and I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with the next 7 episodes. And I've been told that the showrunner, before he was fired, he had already written the entire second season already. So I'm hoping that they use what he did already to continue on, and they don't just throw out the work that he did. So I'm really pleasantly surprised with what they managed to accomplish so far. They've managed to, it's a little more adult than it was before, but you can still I think it still fits within the age range for what they were doing with the Fox Kids show. And I thought that was really creepy. The one nightmare sequence with Gambit where Rogue and Magneto were kind of merging together. That was really creepy.
Yeah.
With the third episode. Actually, all the kind of the nightmare sequences were really weird. Like when Jubilee and Sunspot were watching TV and it was kind of like the ring where the Roberto's mother comes out the TV and she turns into kind of like a spider thing, kind of looked like something out of the thing. So I was really been pleasantly surprised with all three episodes. So I'll somebody else take it away.
I don't know. I don't have much else to say. I mean, like Terrence said, they gave Cyclops some love. Boy, that boy had the glow up. That's the definition of a glow up. They finally got his powers right. Like, I'm tired of having to explain to people that they're not laser beams. They're force. And he utilized it. He was doing the electric slide across the battlefield with them beams. I'm like, okay, Scott. Okay, bull. he was on people's bumpers, too. He wasn't hesitating. That Sentinel grabbed the plane. He was like, optic blast, you slice you up in an instant. Like, he didn't even know what was going on. He just let loose. I don't know. They did a good job. And I like how they're setting up Storm. I know a lot of people were upset, especially people who don't know what's happening. But they're setting their girl Storm up for probably her best character development in her whole tenure as a character. Yeah, so she's going to... Hopefully they take her to the Morlocks and she starts kicking ass and ripping hearts out of chests and hopefully they don't water that down. But from what we've seen so far, I think the showrunner is going to do it. I don't think he's going to hype us up this much and then just let us go. You know, she was all dramatic. I can't feel the wind, like the moisture. So I don't know. I think we're going to be in for a nice surprise for the rest of the season.
And before we get to Mike, how many episodes are they doing for 10. The first season? Oh, okay. All right, Mike, you take it away here, sir. It's your moment.
Let's start this off with two.
Grinning already.
To me, my X-Men. Well, boy, I didn't get to go back here last week when we hit that first one. So we're going to hit that first one real quick. Y'all already hit the guy Cyclops powers right. They got Cyclops right. They got my man off the bench, off the crying. You know, they got Cyclops right. They had him throwing hands. They had the combination of powers and hands. It was amazing to me. It really was. When he came out the plane and used his optic blast to land. Oh, and then he said to me, my X-Men, I hollered. I was in my lab watching it on my phone where I work at. And then, yeah, they heard me. What is going on? Like, you shut the fuck up. I'm watching TV. I was in a moment by myself. I didn't care who was around me. Oh, my God. I watched that scene about 7 times. And it was so, so beautiful. The episode, Cyclops teamwork, when he just said it so slick, give him the 4 class and then Storm hit the scene. Come on, man. It was just beautiful. It was beautiful. You know, I forgot how the show ended. Actually, I don't know if I was even watching it by the time it ended. So I didn't know that Gary had shot the professor. And actually, he shot him and they went to whatever, the Shi'ar universe. He could actually come back at some time. But it was just so beautiful. It really, really was. I had nothing to complain about. And I had no hopes for this. I had less hopes for this than I had for the Avatar remake. I was zero on this. I definitely didn't think it would come this hard with it. I saw one guy say that he was mad that they made Cyclops cool. That's how bad Cyclops has been abused over the years. He had been abused so bad that the people are mad that they made him cool. I said, you got to read comic books to understand how dope Cyclops is. This isn't an upgrade. This is just Cyclops being Cyclops. He not being abused to make Wolverine look good. This is what's going on here. The character is getting the shine, and he deserves it. If they go this way with the movies, it's going to be awesome. Even on this show, somebody said, what do you think is going to need to save the MCU? I said it then, I'm going to say it now, and it shows the damn X-Men. We're going to need to come and show our ass. That's what's going to need. That's all Marvel ever needed. Whenever they get trouble, they need them damn X-Men. And this is what they're going to need now. They're going to need us to come. And I'm saying it now. That's what's going to save us. As we always do. The X-Men are going to come and show up. Now, this third episode right here was beautiful, too. They cleaned up, like Terrence was saying. They tightened that whole Nathan Gray Cable, the whole Inferno thing up. They tightened it up. Because that was sloppy. That was sloppy. But it was confusing, and it went a long time. You know, Inferno, like Terrence was saying, had a lot of demons, and it was just all... It tightened it up. You don't need to know all that. They got the important spots. Let's move on. What I thought was impressive was they made Madeline Pryor the Phoenix. So it wasn't never Jean Grey. And we didn't have to go through another Dark Phoenix episode. We've seen Dark Phoenix 375 times. We'll need that shit no more. I'm so tired of Dark Phoenix every time they get to an X-Men. Here we go again. They did it twice in the theaters. We don't need to see Dark Phoenix no more. At least not that. Maybe she comes back later on, but not that version ever again. So yeah, I have nothing but good things to say. I'm gonna say welcome to the Cyclops Club, y'all. I've been standing here with my Cyclops fan for y'all what over 10 years, y'all know me, by myself. Just standing here. I would get an occasional boost or some help, but I've been standing here waiting. I'm here now. Oh, I'm here and I'm happy. Yes, I'm happy as shit. I'm so goddamn. Y'all can hear it in the voice. I'm so happy. I'm telling you, I'm happy. I'm still going to get my Cyclops tattoo. Not because of this movie, because I was planning on getting it anyway right here, my right forearm. I'm going to get it right here. Oh, man. I am so happy right now. So I can say that a million more times. So, I mean, they keep going where they're going. I'm interested to see the whole Storm thing. I love seeing Ford show up. He was, you know, I'm loving it. I love seeing the dark skin, DaCosta Sunspot. I love seeing that because in the was it Nemeo's movie, they really brighten him up. And Sunspot, I say that because it's important to his character. There's a scene, and I could put the panel up where they beat him because he was black. He was beat up for that. Yeah. And they brighten him up. They're doing things the way it should be done, and I'm enjoying this, and I really am enjoying it. So yeah, I hope they keep going where they're going, because I'm a fan, and I'm fan. So I got people want to wear my Cyclops shirt. Thanks, T. They're not looking at me like, why are you wearing that now? They're looking at me like, yeah, you're damn right. So I'm happy. I can't help but say it again and again and again. And that first episode alone had me, so I've been looking for that to me, my X-Men ringtone. That's gonna be my mutant, my text alert. When people text me, it's gonna be to me, my X-Men, whenever they text me. That's what it's gonna do. So it's I'm waiting, y'all. It's gonna be worse than this when they get there. Huh?
That's gonna be Bob Iger.
Say what, Jay?
That's gonna be Bob Iger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Costume.
To me, my X-Men.
Save. Oh, man. I'm telling you. When they get to the theater, that's what's going to save them. That, I've said it a million times, that's what's going to save Marvel. When we show up, and I say we because I'm a mutant and proud, goddammit. When we show up, that's what's going to, that we will be back. Anybody going to have another word to say bad about Marvel? Nothing. So, but they got to do that right. Yeah, they can't do that Fox thing again. Make it a Wolverine film. We need to make it an X-Men film.
But now they got the real Jean Grey back. Hopefully she's not fainting every 5 minutes like the old show.
Right.
I saw a meme.
When Jean dies, so much thing important anymore.
I saw a meme last week saying that you knew that the one at the door was Jean because she fainted as soon as she got on the screen. That was the real one. Yeah. Well, we're happy that you're happy, Mike.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm ecstatic.
It's all over the place right now. I was in a weird situation this week where I had to explain Cyclops to some casuals who were unaware of his turn. So I had to keep from getting sick and explain, you know, who he is right now. And it's a weird place to be.
That's like for hear you say that is makes it. I mean, Santa Claus is real out there. That's just beautiful.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that yet, because my favorite episode was the second episode when that dude was smacking him around.
He put hands on him.
Yeah, I watched it three times. I was like, okay. Go ahead, Tears.
I was going to say, I also love the emphasis that they put on him not wanting to abandon his son, because I felt like that was a jab at the early issues of X Factor, because that was all some bad editorial shit, because the editor-in-chief of Marvel at the time, he really wanted to get the original X-Men back together, even if that meant like breaking up Cyclops and Madeline, because Chris Claremont, the X-Men writer, he was writing Madeline and Cyclops out of the X-Men. He just wanted to have them kind of like retire and be happily ever after and just bring Cyclops back for big events. But Jim Shooter, the editor-in-chief of Marvel, he was like, nope. I need Cyclops and the original X-Men back together. We're going to do an X-Factor book. And you got to get Cyclops back with his old crew. And Chris Claremont's like, that doesn't make any sense. Cyclops is not going to abandon his wife and child. Jim Shooter was like, make it happen. So you basically have Cyclops just, he finds out Jean Grey is back from the dead, and he abandons his wife and child, which made no fucking sense whatsoever.
He just dropped him.
Just dropped him. Became a deadbeat dad. And he finds out Jean Grey is back to life, and he's just gone. And he doesn't even call Madeline to let him know where he's at. He's just gone. And then they get kidnapped by Mr. Sinister. So I felt like him emphasizing the fact that he's talking about Corsair. I'm not going to abandon my dad. And he's like, I'm not going to abandon my son like my dad abandoned me. I felt like that was kind of a jab at all the shit that happened back in the past where he was poorly written to be a deadbeat dad.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. It's just a better look for him. You know, this whole thing is a better look for Cyclops. But yeah, because it was some YouTuber talking about how Storm beat Cyclops and sent him back to the family he didn't want. An issue at 201. She beat him with no powers and sent him back to the family he didn't want to be around. So. He just dropped Madeline. If y'all don't know, He just dropped Madeline just to run back as soon as they found Jean. This makes it, they don't know when the transfer was. It just makes it a lot smoother and a lot cleaner. You know, you can't really hate on this. They made it a better transition. It really did.
So last week mentioned that I said that this might be one of their better projects, Disney, in the last couple of years. What do you guys feel about, like, after three episodes, how do you feel about it? To Terrence's point earlier, like, I watched the first X-Men series, you know, back in the 90s. It was a little, like, watching them again, it just didn't, I don't know, it just wasn't the same. The action sequences seemed better in this version, and the animation I like. And of course, the story. But what do you guys think as far as how they're doing? Mike, we're clear how you feel, but you can say it again. But as far as Disney's new projects that they've done in the last couple of years, new things that they brought back, how do you feel about that statement or what they're doing so far with the show?
I think it's one of their better ones. Honestly, they it's one of their better ones. You can tell somebody read a book. They put some effort into it. And I'm going to keep it short. That's it. Even the controversy in it. People just look for controversy anyway. But I think it's just one of the better films. I got people calling Gambit gay because we shirt. You know? but it's like, come on, man. Just stop. You're just trying to find something to complain about.
Everybody was
working exactly. In the 90s. If you're 20 years old, you don't know what the 90s is like. Stop. As your dad, you were born in the 90s or 2000. Just go away, child. This is what it is.
Want to know who had a crop top? Apollo Creed. Okay. Apollo Creed.
Running down the beach with long socks on. Yes, he did. A blue one with black shorts that was cut They were worse than that when they called them
with booty shorts on.
Booty shorts, yeah. Man, I'm telling you. That Apollo, and you can't question Apollo Creed. I ain't gonna let you do that.
People don't realize how wild the 90s was.
Yeah. Yeah, Apollo, that's what I'm gonna do to y'all when I get some abs. I'm gonna bring that look back. As soon as I get two abs, I'm gonna bring that look back.
You wanna come on the show with a crop top on?
Like, a crop top. Y'all ain't gonna even handle me when I get my abs. It's gonna be over for all you. I'm gonna walk around in the winter with the crop top in the winter. It's gonna be over.
No diddy.
Oh, here we go.
What did he say?
He said no diddy.
Oh, no, no diddy, no diddy. No, no diddy, no, no, no. No, no. Hell no.
All right, what we got? All right, so this is something that, look, not controversial, but it was a nice long discussion. We're going to go back to the 90s or late 80s, early 90s, House Party. House Party, everybody's seen it here. Everybody's old enough. Now, everyone here has seen that movie numerous times. Now, there was a House Party, you know, kid and play. Had the dance sequence where they was those two versus the girls, and Kid and Play had a rap battle versus each other. Now, gentlemen, who won that rap battle? We know that Kid in the film won it, but who had the better lyrics in that battle? Terrence, you look like you're ready. Go ahead.
I'm sorry at this point. I don't have a very strong opinion about it. I call it a draw. Mm-hmm.
I call it a draw. Okay.
I'm more interested to hear the debate between you and Mike.
It's funny because what was that, Wednesday or Thursday? I was strongly in the play corner, but then I forgot. Another line that Kid had in there. So I don't think it was the landslide that I thought it was. I may be at the draw now myself. But I felt kids, plays versus were definitely more disrespectful. You know, like, you confide in your homie about certain stuff and then he just brings it up in front of everybody, like the curfew thing. I'm like, damn, dude, like I told you this in confidence and you telling everybody I got a curfew, my dad's out, like, punking me and shit, and, you know what I mean? Like, I thought they were a little more harsh. But I don't know. I'm closer to a draw than a play win right now. So that's where I am now. That's the difference a couple days of make.
Mike? I mean, Clay hit him with some zingers. But I think Kid closed the show when he called him a dick. I'm sorry. Kid, when he said that, Kid spelled backward, describe you best. And then he wouldn't even let him get back on the mic. I still stand with Kid winning that fight and winning that battle. I think that's still one of my favorite movies. That's up there with Conan the Barbarian. But I definitely think Kid won that battle. So that's one I watch all the time, too. I watch Conan like 3 or 4 times a week. That's the same thing for me in a House Party. I just watch it all the damn time.
Me too.
And I still think that that Kid won. I do.
Okay.
I think that's but again, I'll watch it 3 more times just to see it, I can hear the rap battle. So okay. That's where I'm at with it.
It is one of those movies I consider perfect. From start to. The finish, it's one of my favorite movies, yeah, but I had to think about it. I had a discussion with, I talked to my old manager about it. I'm like, who won that thing? And he's like, I don't even work for him anymore, but I reached out to him because I know he watches movies. He's like, he said play too, but then he brought up he said the line about step to the stage too late. Now I was like, oh yeah,
I blew it up
because I was saying that to people for a while back then. You know what I mean? You know, it was funny, but
what do you say? Something
I forgot
like
about that. So like that's what just got played out closer to the draw for me. Jay, are you there?
I'm here now. You hear me?
Yeah, the connection issues here. Okay.
God mood. He's listening.
Yeah. So, lost in the X-Men excitement, Invincible did come back last week. Did you guys check out, what was it, two episodes. You guys check the episodes out? What do you think?
I don't have Hulu, so I'm gonna let y'all have. Oh, the Paramount.
It's on Amazon.
Right. I don't have any of that, so I'm gonna let y'all have it.
You don't get Amazon
Prime?
Did you
watch it, Terrence?
Have not seen it. Hopefully if we get Jay back, he can talk to you about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
What else all we got?
So, he's struggling over there.
He's struggling. I wanted him to come back. All right. So,
you know, old man technology, he'll be all right. He'll come back.
Yeah. We're kind of at the end of the topic list. You know, we're at a good solid hour right now. Did you gentlemen have anything else that's going on? Anything you're watching? You're reading? I know there are a couple shows that I was going to take a look at. It was recommended to me, Tokyo Vice, which is in two seasons.
I just finished the second season finale.
It's good.
Which I think might be the end of the show. I'm not sure if it's coming back.
We got you. Okay. You're not sure if it's coming back? The show's good, though?
Yeah, it's a solid show. Yes. It's pretty good.
Okay. All right, before we continue, so we got Jay. He was able to align the deflector dish.
had got her power from life support.
Right, so we wanted to hear what you thought about the kid and play thing, and then we were going to move on. Like, who do you think won that rap battle there?
I think the first round goes to kid. I think he came out of nowhere and he stunned play. He wasn't ready for it, so play had to pull out his best verse. And I think that the second round, I think I'm leaning towards a tie. So I think overall, I think Kid won because he took that first round.
Okay, all right. Kid
landed a couple good shots in the second round.
I was telling him play was a little mean. Like I was telling him, like,
yeah,
he got
a little mean.
Telling people about his curfew and everything. I thought it was a little mean. You know, he's showing off for the girls and everything there, man. Right. But I said Ty. Terrence said, "What did Terrence?"
Ty.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
girl.
Ty. Yeah, he wanted to hear us argue, but we all agreed on that. Mike said kid won.
Wait, what did he say? He said you didn't play. You just got played out in the
yeah,
the blow it up line.
Yeah. That's true.
He had a nice little flow in the second verse too. Like he was, you know.
Mm-hmm. You might be right. Maybe kid did one. Yeah, maybe I watched.
He took him by surprise on that first one. He wasn't expecting him to come with any lyrics on that first round.
Yeah, he took
the first round. He was real short. He had a couple bars.
Mm-hmm. Then he got the equivalent of DMX on him, and the curfew thing just bothered me, man. Like I told you, brother.
Right. He's trying to get with that girl. You talk about curfews and stuff. Like, that was terrible. Yeah.
And
rain in Sydney.
Yeah, the one thing is, Sydney definitely liked him because when people was like teasing about the curfew, she like, that ain't funny. She's looking around like, that ain't funny. Like, don't be teasing my man. Like, that ain't funny.
All right.
But, okay. I thought it was amusing. I'll take any reason to talk about House Party. I'm just telling the other gentleman here, movie. That's a rare, it's a perfect movie. Perfect movie. All right. So what we're talking about, we're just talking about, you know, some loose ends here. What else are you guys into? We're talking about Tokyo Vice, a show that was recommended to me. I'm three episodes in. Terrence has actually watched it. Says it's pretty good. And some show on Netflix, Three Body Problem.
Oh, I want to check that out. I haven't seen that yet.
Very strange. I attempted to watch it during work, but like that was a bad idea. So I was watching that. But I'm gonna get back on that tonight probably. What else, guys? You guys reading anything?
None of y'all watching Solo Leveling? I know you guys.
No, I'm watching that, but I'm reading when I can, but I watch all the Ninjaku movies, Jay. Enjoy that. Are they going to be any more? Yeah, I think I'm at episode 7, but the current episode. Okay. I liked it. Okay. You know, I even went back and watched some old Kenshin episodes. I've been getting back in my anime swing.
Check out
I watched two of those. Pretty good.
That Solo Leveling. It's pretty good, especially this last fight, boy. The last episode.
That's the anime?
Yeah. It's y'all's last.
Where do I find that?
It's on Crunchyroll, I think. But y'all was laughing at me when I called it by its proper name, the manhwa. They were like, man, what you talking about?
Nah, Tasha, see,
I'm trying to be proper.
She's like, that's the correct way to say it. And I was like, I'm going back to work. Okay.
Saw Ghostbusters last week.
Oh, you saw it?
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was okay. Okay. I wouldn't say rush out to go see it. If you catch it, go see a matinee. I mean, if you really love the franchise, go check it out. If you're just kind of meh on it, you can wait till it comes out on streaming. But, you know, I just enjoy seeing the characters come back. Bill Murray, he's pretty much just a two-piece cameo. He shows up for two scenes. He doesn't really do anything all that funny in either of his scenes. But, you know, always good to see him pop up. Ray gets a lot more to do in this, and it's always good seeing Winston again. He's a he's a boss. He's kind of bankrolling the whole project.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, he funds all the technology behind everything that they do, and Ray gets a pretty good role in the movie. So I like the roles that they play. It's kind of like, hey, I think we're kind of too old for this. We can be a part of this without, but we got to find a way to play a different role. We got to let the youngsters do their thing without interfering. We can help out, but we need to be in the background. And it was more about Winston trying to make Ray understand that. Because Winston, he understood his role. He's like, yo, I'm the money man. And Ray, he was still trying to be too much into it. It's more about trying to make Ray understand that. All the performances are good. But yeah, I would say it's not as good as Afterlife. It was funnier than Afterlife. Afterlife was more kind of like the sentimental movie. This movie tried to be more of a pure comedy. But I don't think it's, I think just as far as a movie goes, it's just not as good of a movie. Because I don't think this director is as good as the previous director. Like I said, if you're really into the franchise, go check it out. I'd go see a matinee. But, you know, if not, you could definitely wait till streaming. You know, I had an enjoyable time.
Okay. Someone actually told me this week. They said this was better than Afterlife, and I was like, okay. I don't know when I'm gonna see it. I know we wanted to hold off a little bit, but maybe this weekend. I don't know. I do want to see that in Godzilla. Love those MonsterVerse films. So, I just watched. Godzilla versus Kong a couple weeks ago. That Mecha Godzilla beat the shit out of Godzilla.
Yeah, that Mecha Godzilla.
I was like, this is crazy. Damn. But yeah, I love those films. That's definitely on the list. What else you got, guys?
Not much. I think we hit everything that we talked about. And we did it pretty quickly, too. I thought it'd be a longer time.
Yeah, some of us. Yeah, I mean, we have some very quick and decisive minds here, and you know, we got to the bone meat, whatever the phrase is. We got to, yeah, there you go.
No veggies.
All right, no veggies. Not tonight. Not tonight. So we'll have some more next week. So this is episode 88, I think. So
it's 88.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right, guys, to our listeners, you know, downloading and listening. Thank you for that. We had a new follower this week, I think on Thursday. And my coworker, Tim, another Tim, he's listening to us now too. So thank you for that.
What up, Tim?
On behalf,
thanks for joining the party.
Yeah, that'd be like the fourth Tim, I think. Right, third, fourth. How many?
Another member of the council.
It was a council of Tim.
So, all right. So we're in the
Tim
year.
Carter being Tim One.
Yeah, the Tim Prime.
Tim Prime.
We're at a solid hour and 10 minutes here, and we can stick a bow in this. Oh wait, Jay, did you watch Invincible the last 2 weeks?
I didn't. I haven't caught it yet.
All right,
I'm gonna try to do that this week.
Terrence and Jay, tell us about Invincible. Just kind of been overshadowed by X-Men the last couple of weeks, yeah. Kind of. Even though Invincibles has been good, the last two episodes have been really good too. But that's to be continued. You got to tune in next week, and we'll talk about some Invincible and whatever else is happening, you know, out there in the multiverse.
After going with the comic book storyline, I think Invincible about to get me too.
Oh. All right.
he about to get Bill Cosby.
All right. To be continued, multiverse, and we'll see you next week.
Same multiverse channel.
There you go. All right. Good night.
Thank you. Peace.
Good night.